Put your citizens at the center of government services with Genesys, the global provider of modern customer and employee experience solutions. With Genesys technology, government agencies at all levels deliver citizen-centric support that ensures constituents are remembered, heard, and understood every time they connect with you. Deliver on the promise of a digital government with Genesys. To learn more, including FedRAMP solutions, visit genesys.com/government. That's genesys.com/government.
Welcome to Federal Insights, sponsored by Genesys. Here's today's moderator, Tom Temin.
Federal customer experience doesn't just mean how agencies deal with the public. For example, the Defense Information Systems Agency and its Joint Enterprise Services Directorate. Their customers are internal to the government, and yet customer experience is a priority at DISA. To learn more, Federal News Network's executive editor Jason Miller spoke with Caroline Bean, the director of the Joint Enterprise Services Directorate.
Within my directorate, we have multiple programs where we support different audiences. I'll call them mission partners. And a lot of our mission partners are either doing business with us, so as far as services, agencies, different departments even, coming in and utilizing some of our enterprise services. And so with that, obviously, there is an exchange of, for example, business systems. And so we have financial, both contractual systems that we operate. And that's all done within my directorate. So a lot of what we're doing within business systems, and I'll start just with our internal customers first. And that's all of the business processes that we're doing, but also internally how we do business within DISA as other external users come in or other DoD entities come in and purchase things like whether it's a circuit or a mobility device, or just a collaboration tool, for example, right? Or storage. All of those things, they would engage with our different tools that we have. And part of that is marketplace is one of the overall thing that we're trying to do a little bit better, because right now there's different, you know, doors that you can come in. And that's okay as long as it all kind of feeds into a back-end consistent database that we have that can tell us exactly what the user is purchasing from DISA, whether it's a circuit or a mobile device, for example, what they're purchasing, how much of it they are purchasing, any of the accounting details about that in about that individual or the organization itself, because sometimes it's organizations that come in and purchase these things from us. And so what we're doing kind of in the back end for enterprise services from a user experience perspective is we're trying to tie a lot of that data and really bring the power of data that we already have, bring it all kind of central. So that way we can identify when they come in and actually purchase things, we can identify, okay, well, they purchased the circuit. So we know, for example, when our circuit goes down, we know how many are tied to that because we understand, again, that's kind of the tying of that data and making data the central of everything that we're doing within the ordering aspect and also from the operational side. But Marketplace is one that we're putting out there to pretty much bring a central location of where anyone that's purchasing whatever it is, whether it's a device or a circuit, for example, coming in and purchasing that in one area. And then they can use that same place, Marketplace, to also take a look holistically around, okay, well, I purchased this thing, where am I? So kind of like a pizza tracker that we're used to today. Where is my order in the process? If I have a question or if I have a problem with that specific device or circuit or whatever I've ordered from DISA, who can I reach out to in order to get it fixed or identify if there's something going on with that that they can actively tell me? So we're working all of those pieces specifically from the ordering piece. And then some of the other things that we're doing, and I'll pick another one specifically for C2, our command and control. So that's another enterprise service that I have. Now that one is definitely across the board for the DoD, also a lot of our foreign partners as well. So we do work with FMS, which is our foreign military sales. And so they also have these capabilities that we're putting out for command and control. And what we're doing there is we're actually modernizing a lot of what command and control is looking like. So I don't know if you've heard of the JADC2, which is a joint all-domain command and control. And that's essentially a topic of discussion that gets us out in strategizing how do we bring in all of these different capabilities that have to do with command and control, all of that data points that are out there, and how do we bring it into essentially a single pane glass where we can take a look and identify, get the data quickly to the decision makers that are needing it, needing that data at that time. So that's a really big one. It's a very exciting one that we're doing. And so we're modernizing a lot of what we're doing within our global command and control system joint, which is GeeksJ. And then also our joint planning and execution system, which is JPEZ. And we're actually updating those two systems to be web-based applications. So again, it makes it easier for the users to come in and actually gain the data, whatever command and control data that they're looking for. So we're really excited about doing that. We're having a lot of different it's essentially in line with industry's standards, which is where we always want to be. Really excited about those two opportunities that we have to get more of the user experience.
All right. So there's a little bit to dig out from that. Sounds like you guys are down a good path. Let me take a half step back and go to the marketplace idea. As you said previously, it's the idea of the single front door to make it easier on the customers. How are you developing that? And of course, you're going to tell me about user-centered design or user experience. How are you kind of bringing in the UX, EX efforts to make sure the marketplace meets your users' needs?
Yeah, so we've gone out to our customers, essentially. We've got working groups where we bring in those that are actually interacting with DISA in various levels. So whereas they were doing it, separately before. So for example, to get a circuit, you go through a different process. For a mobile device, for example, you go through another process. And so looking at all of those working groups, to build working groups, so that way we can get the input from those user bases and the different processes that we have out there. So taking a look at all of that and identifying to ensure that we don't lose any capability that we once had and actually want to be able to improve on it. So making sure that we're meeting what it is that they can do today, but then improving upon it. So that way, that's that single entry point that we're looking at. We do have an RFP out there today. So can't say too much about it there, but we do have an RFP out to specifically get after seeing what's out there. And what has industry already produced, so that way we can take a look at what's out and what's working today for user experience, for bringing in that single point of entry where it's super easy to be able to look and go to one place and be able to look at, hey, I put in my order, and then I can look at where my order is, and or I can also look at what the operational stance is of that order or of that circuit or of a device. If there's a network outage, for example, that's happening, I can all go to one place to find that. And then it'll make those connections for the user. And so that's kind of the power behind that, is making those connections. So it's really trying to bring in not just the ordering part of it, which is separate from the operational aspect of things, but it's kind of bringing the two of them together. So that way I can tie it in the back end. I can know who my customers are. So if something does go down, I'm not learning it from my customers. I'm not learning it from the mission partners, but it's actually, I'm being proactive as their service provider. I can easily detect, okay, who all my customers are, and be able to, in one swoop, be able to inform them of any outages, for example, that's happening. And it'll tie it to who's ordered that specific capability or feature if there's something that's going on with that product specifically. So it's a really good way to just kind of get out there and get the information as quickly as possible, especially if there's an operational impact to the user that the user needs to be aware of.
So that's the marketplace. That's the kind of first step in this process. The other side of it is the data, and I want to go down that path a little bit, because data is really driving all of these decisions. Are you collecting data today? Obviously, the marketplace will give you more data once it gets set up, but that could be 18 months away or more. What data are you collecting today, and how is that driving some of your customer experience decisions?
Yeah, so there's a lot of data that's out there, and data honestly just keeps growing. And honestly, I think a lot of what we're trying to do is, we have so much data out there, but what is the right data that's needed for the decision makers? And then how do we know what the right data is and what's needed during that time? So there's definitely a big thing that we're doing in our action plan, actually, in DISA's strategic action plan, that General Skinner speaks to anytime he goes out there, is leveraging data as a center of gravity. And so that's a super important aspect of it, because the intent is really to really focus on more of a cultural change. So that way we become more data centric. So we have all of the data in there, but how do we deliberately take the data and organize it in a way that it can be leveraged jointly across the agency that adds value to the department? And so that's really kind of the goal of having data as at the center of gravity. You know, the single pane view is what I talked about. So bringing all of the data together holistically from various sources, because we get data from all types of sources that come in, some of them internal, some of them from external, and we want to be able to pull that all together in order to enhance the support that we're providing specifically to our command and control, because this is a combat support agency. So specifically to our high priority of our command and control mission. So it's ensuring that, you know, and we can do that through, I know there's a lot of programs looking in each of our programs as PMs, program managers look at what's out there, as we're looking at modernizing, for example, some of our capabilities, we're looking at utilizing things that effectively use things like artificial intelligence or machine learning, right? And so taking a look at what's already been out there and leveraging some of the that modern technology is all part of being able to extract from all of this data that we have, and being able to extract it and see what we're actually what we actually get, in order to be able to normalize it and get it to a place where we can actually utilize it to make decisions or get it in the hands of those decision makers that's needed, whether that's a warfighter or a senior leader out at the Pentagon. A lot of the other things that we're looking at is things like robotics process automation. So that's a big one, call it RPA here. So that's a new thing that we've been looking at within DISA, just internally to start doing some of that. What are some of the things that we can utilize, you know, do some more process automation on, takes maybe some of the longer timelined processes that we have today, whether it's to purchase a product or whether it's the exchange of financial aspects that go on with our mission partners, but whatever it takes to get there and take some of those processes and see if we can use RPA and the robotics or, you know, process automation to alleviate some of those challenges that we're having today that we've been facing for years and years. So we definitely have to start somewhere. And so those are just some of the things that DISA is doing as far as trying to leverage data at the center of gravity and get it to a place where we can utilize. We've got a lot of data. It's not that we need more data. It's more, how do we normalize it? And then how do we get the data to the right senior leaders or the right warfighter, for example, for what they need and when they need it in a timely manner so they can make the decisions that they need to make at that time.
Caroline Bean, Director of DISA's Joint Enterprise Services Directorate, speaking with Federal News Network's Jason Miller. We'll be back with more of this interview after a quick break. I'm Tom Temin.
Put your citizens at the center of government services with Genesys, the global provider of modern customer and employee experience solutions. With Genesys technology, government agencies at all levels deliver citizen-centric support that ensures constituents are remembered, heard, and understood every time they connect with you. Deliver on the promise of a digital government with Genesys. To learn more, including FedRAMP solutions, visit genesys.com/government. That's GENESYS.com/government.
We continue our interview with Caroline Bean, Director of the Defense Information Systems Agency's Joint Enterprise Services Directorate. She spoke with Federal News Network's Jason Miller.
I'm glad you brought up some of the technology, and actually I'll go back to that in a minute, but I just one last thing around the data. Currently, I know DISA recently released a data strategy or updated data strategy. Are you specifically working with your CDO around this? Or are you having conversations about specifically, okay, how do we normalize or standardize around customer experience data versus the bigger data discussion that happens at every agency?
Yeah, so it's definitely more than just the data. So we're doing a little bit of both. We definitely want to get after the bigger data problem that we have. But also we want to do it in a way that leverages the user experience and make sure that we are cognizant of the user experience piece of it. Because a lot of times we can grab the data, we can normalize it, but then if it's not usable for the user on the other end of the line, what good is it, right? So I think we're tackling it from both ends. That is very challenging to do. And, you know, many folks, you know, within just the department, we know where our problems are. We know where some of our challenges are. And I think just starting to chip at some of those and make those more user experience focused is a lot of what we're doing. So honestly, we're taking a lot of what, as we're modernizing just antiquated and legacy systems that we have today, I'm doing a lot of modernization. That's actually a huge theme in the directorate the past year now. And as we're starting to modernize it, we're putting user experience and cybersecurity at the forefront. And sometimes those can be at odds against each other. But I think it's super important to be able to do both of those things. And then industry, of course, helps us get there, right? With, you know, releasing products that already have, for example, the security aspects embedded and built in instead of trying to bolt it on later on. So there's, I think overall, we're getting better at doing that, especially utilizing the opportunities that we have with modernization in general. And taking that approach and at least those things that we are modernizing today, specifically within my program, I've got a lot of products that I'm and a lot of programs I'm modernizing. And so we are definitely thinking about user experience more so than we've ever before. It's in our strategic plan, in our action plan today, not just data, but also the user experience piece of it and cybersecurity. So one of them is harmonizing cybersecurity and user experience. So we're definitely, it is in the forefront. It's always usually an afterthought, I think, has been in the past as we've built things, because it's just a matter of getting a product out the door. But we definitely have to do that smarter and make sure that there is the users being thought of, because nobody wants to deliver a product that's just really difficult to use, because at that point, the user won't really utilize that product. So we definitely want to put stuff, we want to push things out that the user will be utilizing right out the door, and things that they're familiar with utilizing. So that's, I think, where partnering with industry becomes really important. So that way it's not something that they have to learn to utilize, but they already kind of know how to utilize it just because it's in their day-to-day, in their personal lives, for example.
I'm glad you brought up this idea of a lot of modernization. So, because you know, I got to ask you the question, Carolyn, about cloud and where does the cloud fit in? You talked about AI a little bit. You talked about RPA a little bit. How are you looking at the cloud and the services, whether it's software as a service or infrastructure as a service, or even just kind of that gov cloud experience? How's that kind of helping you all refocus or at least focus more on customer and user experience?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I think a lot of with the cloud aspects, and so definitely there's been a more of a push, obviously. I know when I used to be in the MilCloud, in the cloud arena doing infrastructure as a service, and then moved on into more of the software as a service with our DIOS aspect. So kind of seen both worlds there. I think we're creating and can't say too much about this specific one, but we are the joint warfighting cloud capability essentially is going to be a huge driver to get us to access commercial cloud providers. So we can, as we're modernizing, we have options that are out on the table that are accessible to us. So through JWCC, which is going to be a multi-vendor acquisition that's going out there for DoD, again, to have that direct access to a lot of the commercial cloud service providers, that's going to be a huge win for the department. Specifically, a huge win for me as I'm modernizing. Right now, we're modernizing and we're having to figure out, okay, how do we gain access? What contract do we get on in order to access these cloud services or purchase on our own? This is going to make things a lot easier, and it's going to be something that's proven out in the beginning. The process is already going to be squared away. So I can go in and just order that, similar to when I was talking about Marketplace, where I can just go in and order a cloud service. And so it's going to be very similar to that. So it'll make things a lot easier from the modernizing perspective. And then there's going to also probably be a lot of capabilities out there that are available in the cloud. So more of the software tools, for example, potentially that DevSecOps that we're looking for to allow us to get products out there quicker. And all of that are things that we are looking at as we're modernizing some of the products that we have. For example, command and control, the modernization that we're doing there, we heavily rely on DevSecOps. And so we're doing that today. We're utilizing it today. But this is just this next step of when JWCC comes online, will only further make it a lot easier and more efficient for us to jump on those types of tools that are out there and give us more of an expanded breadth of tools that will be available for, you know, to do things like DevSecOps and push out products quicker for our warfighters.
It's a little bit of teasing me here, right? You talked about the RFP for the marketplace and LGWCC. There's so many more questions I want to ask you about, but I realize that there's a lot of sensitivities around them. So I will move us on to another topic, Carolyn, because I think this is a really important piece of this discussion, which is the metrics. How are you measuring progress against customer experience? What are you doing? You mentioned the working groups, the user experience groups, but how are you looking at the broader customer and say, are they having success with our products, services, and the like?
Yeah, that's a great question. So you know, after we get to that place of, okay, we've delivered something, how do we know that we're continuing to deliver the best user experience possible? And of course, surveys and all those things, I mean, that's, you know, those are things we can do. We'll continue to do those out to get feedback and how to, you know, get feedback from our user community. But I think beyond that, how does technology help us? And that's where the artificial intelligence aspect of things, where we're looking at partnering with industry to allow things, for example, as the way that I interact with the product that I'm, for example, as I'm ordering or as I am looking at ordering and how I'm, you know, what I'm clicking on within, you know, how many jumps do I take, you know, for example, clicks do I take to get to where I finally land? Those types of things, those behaviors of what a user does and how it interacts with the system that it's interacting with, that is something that we can be captured in, you know, analytics or in using things like AI or some process or machine learning, essentially, that says this particular user, it took 5 clicks before they finally landed where they needed. And so getting that type of feedback, I think, is going to be instrumental to continuing to improve on, are we hitting the mark with user experience? And so capturing that type of data is going to be really important. And I think a lot of what's out there now on how they can potentially take on the behaviors of a user interacting as they're interacting with the system is going to be super important and helpful to try to help us improve what's working and what isn't. So sometimes it's, you know, a trial and error. You put it out there and you say, okay, this, we think this is the way that we've designed it. We think it's going to work this way. But if it doesn't, then we have the opportunity to change it and to improve upon it. And we can do that easily because the way that we built it, the way that we designed it. So really excited to start bringing in a little bit more of the outside of just the users and the user feedback surveys and putting out working groups and getting feedback that way. I think the machine aspect of it, where, you know, we can actually capture how the user's interacting with the system is going to be a bit different for us, but very exciting for us to capture and see what that comes out of that.
That's Caroline Bean, Director of the Defense Information Systems Agency's Joint Enterprise Services Directorate, speaking with Federal News Network's Jason Miller. To review this interview or share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Federal Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights, sponsored by Genesys on Federal News Network.
Put your citizens at the center of government services with Genesys, the global provider of modern customer and employee experience solutions. With Genesys technology, government agencies at all levels deliver citizen-centric support that ensures constituents are remembered, heard, and understood every time they connect with you. Deliver on the promise of a digital government with Genesys. To learn more, including FedRAMP solutions, visit genesys.com/government. That's GENESYS.com/government.